Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Well, if you'll find your bulletin and find the notes that are in there and take them out, we're going to look at them today. Next Sunday, I'm going to begin a series entitled Fighting the Good Fight. If you got your mail or you saw the details of it there, we hope you'll join us. Talk about issues of why is life so hard? Why do we struggle and how do we win? And because we're called to win and we're victorious. Today I want us to look at where we stand. You know, you and I have this great privilege of living in this great country. And I think every time we come to celebrate this great country that we live in, it's also a time to remind ourselves that we live in another great place as well, another great kingdom. And I want us to look at that this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You're not like that. You are a chosen people. You are a kingdom of priests, God's holy nation, His very own possession. This is so you can show others the goodness of God. For He called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, now you're the people of God. Once you received none of God's mercy, now you received His mercy. Dear brothers and sisters, you are foreigners and aliens here. So I warn you to keep away from evil desires because they fight against your very souls. Be careful how you live among your unbelieving neighbors. Even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they'll see your honorable behavior, for they'll believe and give honor to God when He comes to judge the world. For the Lord's sake, accept all authority. The king is head of state, the officials He has appointed. For the king has sent them to punish all who do wrong and to honor those who do right. It is God's will that your good lives should silence those who make foolish accusations against you. You are not slaves. You are free. But your freedom is not an excuse for you to do evil. You are free to live as God's slaves. Show respect for everyone. Love your Christian brothers and sisters. Fear God. Show respect for the king. Now, when this was written, the Jewish people were slaves, literally. They were being controlled by the Roman nation, and they were under its domain and its power. And from it, we see how Paul writes to them and says, this is how you need to, or excuse me, Peter writes to them and says, this is how you need to live in the midst of this. So I want us to look at it and out of this passage to take some things away to help us to live as great citizens of America and the kingdom of God. First of all, we're a chosen people. We're a chosen people. You understand, don't you, that when you came to a place in your relationship with God, that God didn't pick you last. You know, sometimes, I don't know if you've ever been involved in, I remember when I was a kid, we'd just get a group of guys in the neighborhood together, and we'd choose up sides. You know, two guys would pick, and they'd pick and take turns and everything. The one thing I remember in that whole deal was, you did not want to be picked last. Right? You wanted to be picked first. God chose you. God loves you. God cares for you. He says, you're a chosen people. You're a kingdom of priests. You're a holy nation. We're called to minister to God. We're called to serve God. We're called to be a part for God's purpose. Right now, I hold dual citizenships. I am a proud citizen of the United States of America. I love this country. I'm grateful to God that I live in this country. I have visited other countries. I'm glad I'm here. I'm a citizen of the United States of America. But I am also a citizen of the kingdom of God. I belong to His country as well. The first one, I'm a citizen by birth. The second, I'm a citizen by rebirth, being born again. I am a citizen of that kingdom. Now, my loyalty above all is to the kingdom of God. In the priority of those two citizenships, the kingdom of God takes priority over everything else. Notice John chapter 18, verse 36. Jesus, when being questioned by Pilate, said, I am not an earthly king. If I were, my followers would have fought when I was arrested by the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world. Pilate replied, you're a king then. You say that I am a king, and you are right, Jesus said. I was born for that purpose, and I came to bring truth to the world. all who love the truth recognize that what I say is true. The kingdom of God is visible because we serve in that kingdom. We have been a chosen people. We are chosen to live in His kingdom. The kingdom of God is invisible because it's not of this world. And sometimes we struggle with that. And so you and I have to recognize that we are a chosen people. God has chosen us to follow Him. Now, whether or not I am willing to accept His invitation or not is my choice, isn't it? I can choose to say no to God, even though He chose me. You know, two guys choosing salt teams. One says, okay, you chose me. I don't want to play for you. I don't want to do that. His choice. You and I make a choice. Citizens of two worlds, chosen by God to be a part of His kingdom. And He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's the king of this great kingdom. Secondly, what we need to understand is our culture is lost. Our culture is lost. The writer here says, be careful how you live among your unbelieving neighbors. Be careful how you live in this world and in what's going on. You see, you and I sometimes think that our hope lies in us getting the right people in political office. Chuck Colson put it this way, the kingdom of God is not coming in on Air Force One. Okay? It's a great line. Our hope is not of getting the right political action group. It's not in getting the right people. And contrary to what many people believe, God is not a Republican. All right? He is also not a Democrat. You know, sometimes some people have their favorite verses, Ecclesiastes 10:2. The heart of the wise inclines to the right, but the heart of the fool to the left. You know, some of you just got a new favorite verse, didn't you? And sometimes we think, well, we got to out to redeem the culture. We've got to out to change everything in our society. If America would just change, then that would be the hope of what we're looking for. No, that's not the hope of what we're looking for. Heaven is not waiting for us to vote in the right candidate so that we can have heaven on earth. Here's what you have to understand. The whole Jewish nation and the disciples missed much of what God was doing because Jesus didn't do what they wanted Him to do. And what they wanted Him to do, and they asked Him this several times, Lord, are You now going to restore Your kingdom? Now, Lord, are You going to do this? God, are you going to now set up Your throne? God, can I sit on the left and one sit on the right while You rule here? And see, they all expected Jesus to come in to be a king on earth, to overthrow Roman government, to establish their nation as the nation among all the powers on the earth, and that's what they thought was going to happen. And because it didn't happen that way, they missed it. They missed it. And sometimes we get to be much like them in that we think this is what's going to happen. This is what needs to happen. This is how it needs to take place. We just need to overthrow the government. We just need to have God rule. We just need to have the right person in office. And you and I think that, well, that will take care of our culture. But folks, we're in a culture war and our culture is lost. John 17:13. Now I'm coming to you. Jesus is praying to the Father. I've told them many things while I was with them so that they'd be filled with My joy. I have given them Your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but keep them safe from the evil one. They're not a part of this world any more than I am. Make them pure and holy by teaching them Your words of truth. As You sent Me into the world, I am sending them into the world. Wow. You see, when Peter wrote to these people that we read in our text at the beginning, he's saying, you're living a difficult time. You live around unbelieving neighbors. You live in a culture that is not comfortable with you. You live in a place where really they're against you. And if you think your solution is going to be in changing all the culture and making it right, and getting the right person in the right place at the right time, then you're going to miss what God is doing because you live in another kingdom, in another place. You live for another world. Ephesians 5:15, be careful how you live, not as fools, but as those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity for doing good in these evil days. We don't like it, but folks, the truth is, we're surrounded by evil. And we should be uncomfortable in that, shouldn't we? Hello? We're surrounded by everywhere we look and turn and what we watch and what we see and what we hear is just not godly. But that's the culture that we live in. It's lost. And we, you and I, are to raise a standard in the midst of that. Now understand that when I say that, I need to say next, and your next point is, our concerns matter. You know, it's up to us to take a stand for what we believe. It's up to us to stay true to what we put our hope in and who we believe in. Because every bit of public policy and government is created with someone's values in mind. The welfare system, affirmative action, feminist movement, war on drugs, education, environment, space, health care, economic, illegal, all of that has to do with someone's beliefs, doesn't it? All are derived from someone's value system. And we need to let our voice be heard. But that voice should be one of love and compassion and not of hatred and anger and harshness or judgment. You hear me? Our voice needs to be heard, but it needs to be heard in the right tone. It needs to be heard with the love of God. It needs to be heard with the compassion that God would have. It needs to be heard not as someone who's harsh and judgmental, but as someone who's caring and kind and loving in the midst of it all. That's what sets us apart. That's why we're different. Because you see, next, our character is important. Our concerns matter. But that does not give us the right to take the law into our own hands. Our belief that abortion is morally wrong does not give us the right to bomb a clinic or murder a doctor. Our belief that something is wrong, as right as it might be, does not give us the right to do something that is morally and ethically uncalled for. It does not give us the right to treat those who differ from us in an ungodly or unloving manner. It is ungodly to be critical of someone who's of another party or another belief. I'll wait for you to catch up to me. It's just not what Christians do. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Notice what Jesus says. I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. Be as wary as snakes and as harmless as doves. But beware. You're going to be handed over to the courts, beaten in the synagogues. You must stand trial before governors and kings because you're my followers. This will be your opportunity to tell them about me. Yes, to witness to the world. When you're arrested, don't worry about what to say in your defense because you'll be given the right words at the right time. For it won't be you talking, it will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. You see, we depend on the Holy Spirit to help us. We are to set the standard of how Christians behave. We are to be the example of what it's like to be a Christ follower. We are the ones who are to show others this is what follow of a citizen in the kingdom of God looks like. Because you and I represent another kingdom. You know, if you go overseas, I remember when I was in India and we were talking with some people there, and I've come to find out that people over there do not have a good impression of us Americans. And I asked, well, why is that? They said, well, they watch the movies. And they see what you're like. And I said, that is nothing what we're like. And you see, sometimes people form an opinion of us. Sometimes people look at us and say, everybody who's a Christ follower is like that. And that's not the way it is. And you and I have a responsibility to understand that just as Jesus Christ set the example of what it was like to live for the Father in his day, you and I are called to live an example as to what it is like to be a member of the kingdom of God in our day. We bear his name. We always speak and act in a manner that exalts him. We always represent his kingdom, and we're called to represent it well. We are called to him. Now that means this: our call is obvious. Our call is obvious. You say, well, Pastor, okay, I understand. Our main responsibility is the kingdom of God, to live the life here as a proud citizen of the United States, but also as a representative and a proud citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Then what am I to do here? How am I to live here? How should I act while I'm here? I'm in essence, as much as I am at home in America, literally, I am in a foreign country. This world is not my home. The writer put it, I'm just passing through. So how do I live? How do I deal? What's my calling? First of all, our call is to respect our leaders. Respect our leaders. Now, the Bible's very clear about this. It doesn't matter who's leading. It doesn't matter what you think of them. It doesn't matter what party they belong to. It doesn't matter whether you think they're doing a good job or not. Our job is to respect our leaders. That didn't go over real well either, did it? Our call is to pray for and obey our leaders, no matter who they are. Okay, just so you know, it's not my opinion. 1 Timothy 2:1. First of all, pray for all people. As you make your request, plead for God's mercy upon them and give thanks. Pray this way for kings and all others who are in authority, so that we can live in peace and quietness, in godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Savior, for he wants everyone to be saved and understand the truth. Why do we do it? So that others can be saved and understand how we are to live. Romans 13:1. Obey the government, for God is the one who put it there. All governments have been placed in power by God. So those who refuse to obey the laws of the land are refusing to obey God, and punishment will follow. For the authorities do not frighten people who are doing right, but they frighten those who do wrong. So do what they say and you'll get along well. The authorities are sent by God to help you. Do you understand that in your life, that God will put you into places where you have to deal with authorities, and sometimes those authorities are unfair, and God wants to use that unfair, ungodly authority to help you? Do you understand that God does that? Okay. Verse 5, so you must obey the government for two reasons. Keep from being punished, to keep a clear conscience. I wish this next verse wasn't here. Pay your taxes too. For these same reasons. For government workers need to be paid so that they can keep on doing work God intended them to do. Give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and import duties. Give respect and honor to all whom it is due. Titus 3:1. Remind your people to submit to the government and its officers. They should be obedient, always ready to do what is good. They must not speak evil of anyone, and they must avoid quarreling. Instead, they should be gentle and show true humility to everyone. Well, Pastor, I understand when this was written, it just doesn't understand our day and time. Oh, really? Do you understand we live in a much better day and time than these people lived in? These people had the Caesars to deal with. These people lived in the time of the Roman Empire, one of the most ungodly empires that has ever existed in the history of mankind. This is the people who put Christians on poles, covered them with tar, set them aflame to burn and to light their courtyards. This is the people who put the Christians into the lion's den, literally. These are the ones who did this. And the writer still says, pray for them, obey them, do what they say. Now, if it's true then, it's true now. And you and I have a responsibility to pray for those who are in leadership over us. Instead of being critical, be prayerful. I'll keep moving. Secondly, our call is to reach people for Christ. Our call is not to be political activists. Our call is to be godly activists. What can I do to help more people know that Jesus Christ has called them and chose them to serve Him? How can I invest my time and my energies to touch the lives of more people who need to know God? That's what the church is about. That's what Christians put their energy into, because people need the Lord. People need Jesus Christ. And you and I, as members and citizens of the kingdom of heaven, are to do everything we can to help people know about Jesus. We're to do that here in our local town, our local community, and we're to do it all over the world. That's what our calling is. That's what Christians do. That's what the church is about. That's our number one priority. What can we do to reach more people for Jesus Christ? You know, as an American citizen, you should vote. You should be a registered voter. And I'm all for doing everything we can to get people to vote and do what you need to do to encourage that. But you know what else we need to be doing? We need to get people involved in God. We need to invite them. Come with us to church. How about this? Where can I help you here? If we'll spend as much time doing that as we will the other, both kingdoms will be well served. Agreed? Okay. That's our call. Our call is to pray for and respect our leaders. Our call is to reach people for Jesus Christ. Thirdly, our call is to maintain a righteous standard. Now, this is going to get harder and harder because we are called to raise up a standard. What is our standard? Our standard has to do with what is biblical and what is right in the eyes of God. And as our culture that is lost keeps getting worse and worse, and it will, then you and I have to maintain a standard that says, this is what righteousness looks like. We maintain a standard that there is still sin today. There are things that are wrong to God. We maintain a standard that says, this is what's right according to God's word. Now, we do it in a loving, kind way. But we are going to have to, in essence, dig in our heels, so to speak, and say, no farther. We're going to have to dig in our heels and say, no, this is the line. This is what God stands for. This is what we stand for. This is what we believe. You can call it right all you want, but it's sin. You can say it's acceptable all you want. You can pass laws to declare it, but we will still take a stand saying, no, it's wrong. And so you and I have that responsibility. Now, we've got to be careful, because if we're not careful and don't do that in the right way, the world's going to look at us as judgmental and cranky people. And we need to do it in a loving, kind way. You need to be able to confront the sinner with sin and still have them love you in spite of it. You need to be able to say this is wrong, and yet God still cares and God still wants you. You and I have that call on our life to maintain this standard in our world and in our culture. Next, our call is to provide a place of restoration. What do we want to do? We're going to do everything we can to help people be restored. Would you agree with me that there are a lot of people in this world who are broken? That there are a lot of people in this world who are hurting? that there's a lot of people in this world who have been through some very traumatic times in life. That there are a lot of people in this world who are confused. A lot of people that just really have had their hearts broken. A lot of people who at night cry themselves to sleep. A lot of people who look and wonder why. You and I are to provide for them comfort. You and I are to provide for them compassion. You and I are to provide a place where we can say to them, you know what, you can come here. We're not going to judge you. We're not going to condemn you. We will love you, and we want God to heal you. That's what we want. That's our calling, isn't it? It's to take those that sin has misused. It's to take those that sin has tried to use and can destroy lives and to tell them, don't lose hope. You can still be the person God created you to be. It's going to be okay. Come stay with us. You're going to be safe here. We're going to help you. We'll love you. God loves you. And you and I are to provide a place where there's healing and where there's forgiveness and where people don't have to carry guilt around the rest of their lives. That's our calling. That's what the kingdom of God is about. Everywhere Jesus went, he went to relieve them from their pain and from their hurt and from their sin. And that's our calling. As individuals, as the church, that's what we're about. We spend our time and our energy and our effort to tell people, you know what, you don't have to stay this way. You know what, life's been hard. You know what, you've done things you regret, but God forgives. And God wants to restore you to brand new. God takes everything of the past and pushes it away and makes everything new. And that's what we do. A place of restoration. Next, it is a place, our call is to raise up disciples. What are we to do? What's our calling? What is a part of this kingdom? What's it about? It's about helping people to mature and grow up. I think one of the things that creates most problems for us, all of us, in our life is this: immaturity. Immaturity. And what basically undermines, what is the bottom line of immaturity? I want my way. I want to do what I want to do. I want to have what I think I deserve. I want to have what everything that I think is right with me. I think things should be like this. I want this to happen. I want this to take place. No longer are we a people who are willing to sacrifice. We're now a people who want choices, and I want to make my own choice and do my own thing. That's immaturity, isn't it? You see, the gospel calls for us to lay down our lives, doesn't it? The gospel calls for us, the kingdom of God says, look, you no longer live, but now Christ lives. The gospel says, you know what? It's not about you, it's about the kingdom of God. It's not about what you want and what you think and getting everything you believe you deserve. It's about what God wants and about Him and you being willing to die to self so that you can live to Christ. That's a disciple. That's what discipleship is all about. It's helping people mature and grow up so that they no longer have to live for themselves, but they'll live for God. See, every person who accepts Christ up until that moment has been living for themselves, haven't they? They've been doing everything they've wanted to do. But now, once they come into the kingdom of God, now once they accept Jesus Christ into their life, and now that He is the King of their life, now they have to grow up in Him, don't they? Now, we all understand, don't we, that maturity takes time. Nobody comes into this earth as an adult. You come in as a crying, stinking, snarling little brat. Okay? And everybody looks at you at first and goes, oh, aren't they so cute? Oh, look at how lovely they are. It's a terror on wheels in just a matter of a little time, right? That's the way it is. That's what's really there. When you come into the kingdom of God, you're born in as a baby just as well, aren't you? A selfish one. Because that's the way you've been living. And now you have to learn to not live for you, but to live for God. You have to grow up. And our call is to help people mature and become disciples of Jesus Christ so that they can live in the kingdom of God as responsible citizens. That's what we're called to do. Finally, our call is to reveal the love of God. To reveal the love of God. We serve to reveal the love of God. We are involved in our community to reveal the love of God. The Bible tells us this: the world is going to know you're His children by the way you love one another, right? So we have relationships with each other, and by our love, the world sees what God's kingdom is truly about. We are not to be critical of our country, but we are to be the light in the midst of darkness. We are to be a people whose lives shine, that people can look at us and say, you know what? They're weird. Now, if you go back to your front page, the writer Peter says, you know what? You kind of are a crazy people. You're foreigners here. You don't belong. You're out of place. And other people will look at us and say, they don't belong here, do they? They're just not like us. But hopefully they know that not because we're weird, but because the love of God reigns in our life. And we demonstrate the love of God because God is love. And God has chosen that the weapon that we use to overcome is love. Now, we sometimes struggle with that because we want to pick up other weapons. Let me use my tongue to cut some people down. Let me do something here to destroy this. God says, no, by the way you love me and the way you love others, you will demonstrate what my kingdom is like. So, folks, we live today in a great country. We're a proud citizen. But we also, as Christians, live in another country, the kingdom of God. Just as real, just as purposeful, and very critical. Patrick Henry, the man who said, give me liberty or give me death, also said these words. There's one thing more I wish I could give to my family. And that is faith in Jesus Christ. If they had that and I had not given them one shilling, they would have been rich. And if they had not that and I had given them all the world, they'd be poor indeed. What matters most is the kingdom of God. And you and I live for that kingdom. When we live for that kingdom, that will make us great citizens of the United States of America. Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.